Once upon a time, a long time ago, there was a man. And then there was a woman. And then there was a car. And then there was a freeway. And then there was a gas station. And she said, time to pull over because coffee running right through you, isn't it, honey? Yep. Anyway, welcome to the program. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I start the show tonight in the unorthodox manner that I done did on account of we had some mechanical difficulties here. We had what you call a technical malfeasance. We were off the air. We weren't even on the air yet, but we're
yelling on the air.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to turn a negative into a positive. Anyway, welcome to the program, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We our internet stream went down, which means that our webcast went down, which means that
you went down.
Don't get cute, man.
God, man, you let him get away with that?
Don't get cute.
Sorry.
The stream went down, which means we did not have on our webcast, we weren't live. So we had to reboot that, and we have done that. And so anyway, welcome to the program. Sorry, just updating you on the mess that we were here just a few minutes ago. Now I'm going to update you on the mess that I was last night because we did Drunk History.
Now, that was at the beautiful Biltmore Hotel. I can't imagine anything going wrong at the lovely... Excuse me for a minute. Now, I promised that I'd turn my head. What is he doing?
Yeah, what are you going to do with that way for toward me?
You belched in his direction.
I said I'd turn my head away, and that's what I did.
No, don't do it right toward me.
You don't have to do it in our direction, do you?
Oh, well, excuse me. I can assure you, on my worst day of belching... Never mind.
On your worst day of belching, Margaret, you're right. Your belches are better than anybody's, but... All right, so...
Keep talking.
You keep talking as you're going to kick my ass, or...
No, keep talking and get away from this idiotic topic. Forget about it, Phil. I told you I have the right to be holistic, to be natural, to be a natural, as Aretha Franklin sang, as Carole King wrote, a natural woman.
Well...
A natural woman. Did you know the song?
I don't know. What does she mean?
It was a song by Carole King. It's a very beautiful song.
Yes.
But I don't think there was any reference to belching, you know.
Yes, I was going to say, Margaret, that song was popular when we had just come home. My third and final tour of Vietnam, I remember that song. It was lovely. But I agree with Phil. I don't think that the concept of a woman belching ever came into my mind. I certainly was thinking of my wife.
I'm not asking you to think of a...
All right. Thank you very much for that background, Margaret, on natural woman and how it does relate to belching. But we are into the show, and more importantly, you were saying?
Oh, I was talking about the Biltmore Hotel is a beautiful hotel. Now, you said that you drank too much yesterday. I know the show is called Drunk History.
Yes, what is this? I want to know what the program's about.
Drunk History is a show on Comedy Central where they tell a historical story, a true-to-life story, and they have a narrator, which is me, and they have actors playing the scene as the narrator is describing it. So the most important or the fundamental building block, if you will, of Drunk History is the narrator's story. And from the narrator's story comes the actual actors, the dialogue, and the display of the action. Now, what makes this particularly funny is that the narrator has been drinking. And so the stories that the narrator is telling, as they pertain to the topic, are generally rather fractured. They have lots of profanity. I can assure you, at least in my case, they did. They're animate. They're animated. They should be funny, and they are. And I think in my case, they were. And of course, all of this, from my point of view, must be done and must be affected in such a way so as to, yes, I've been drinking tequila, but no, I don't want to look like a sloppy, falling down drunk.
Yeah, that's not the word we got. The word we got was that you was sloppy.
Well, the word we got was that you were pretty tight.
Did you, let me ask you this, Phil, all right?
What do you mean pretty tight?
Look this way. I'm talking to you.
Yes, sir.
Now, the question that I have is, did you throw up on camera?
No.
But you threw up, right?
When I got home, I did. I threw up, yeah.
What? You always talk about a drink of tequila.
What did he say?
You mean tequila? Wow.
But just let the general...
So You drank tequila, and then you threw up like some punk college recruit.
God. No, 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 no. It was after a full bottle. Slow, what do you mean, like some punk college recruit? Come on.
Like some two-bit punk. I expected more out of a guy that I work with is going to drink tequila and then puke like a punk. Oh, man.
General, you going to get some water?
No, I don't want to get any water. I want to get this out. I want to get it off my chest.
Well, is it really that emotional for you?
When I hear about a guy that I know, a guy that I hang out with, drinking tequila and throwing up, it's very emotional for me, yes.
Well, I'm sorry, General, but even I, old Iron Brain Henry, I can't handle that stuff on an empty stomach especially.
Oh, my God.
You don't have nothing to eat?
I didn't have anything to eat until about, oh, maybe a half an hour to 45 minutes into our session, and then I finally had a Subway sandwich, and it was fantastic tasting it going down and coming back up.
Oh, God.
Sorry, General.
God.
Yeah, that's gross.
So you had a Subway sandwich, and what?
And that was it. I had a Subway sandwich.
Well, that's not enough. Yes, obviously, that's going to go. The tequila is an irritant. It is an irritant, Phil, on your stomach.
Don't I know it, okay? You know what the interesting thing? Coming home in the car, because they sent a car for me, which, thank God.
Well, they're not going to have you drive all by yourself, are they? Sometimes they'll make you drive.
Not if you're drinking. No, they're not going. The stuff you got to go through to be on this show, I had to have a physical. I had to have a blood test. I had to sign all kinds of releases about whether I was allergic to this, that, or something else. I could not be an alcoholic. Can you imagine if they got an alcoholic? Probably. I think, Derek, you really ought to pick people that are more used to drinking maybe than me.
No, you're going to get sued.
I'm kidding. But anyway, I had to sign all kinds of stuff. And then who's going to drive you? Well, I can't drive myself. Well, then we'll hire you a car. Okay, great, thank you. And, this, that. Oh, man, they got all kinds of insurance considerations, right? Basically, when you're drinking, it's like a stunt. In other words, you're signing, you're telling them you'll do your own stunt work. It's like I did one show once where they had me doing physical action, which they had to put under the heading of a stunt, so that the insurance would be cool, you know?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, like,
You're not driving a car off a cliff or something like that.
No, no, by the time you jump out of the car?
It was a show where I get out of a moving car, and it was very, very slight.
Well, that's the one where you got the Charlie... Oh, Jesus. No, Phil, you were 300 pounds then.
Yeah, I'm for all the world, I looked like hell. But anyway, but it probably worked for the show. Anyway, So that's a stunt. So if you're drinking... That's technically a stunt. That's technically you are doing stunt work. So there's a whole thing that you have to sort of groove to and like that, you know?
No, I don't know. Would you stop?
Phil, why are you doing it now? When you go beatnik, no one knows.
I'm sorry, General. What I mean is you're signing off on a section of the work agreement that says it's essentially a stunt so that their insurance... is cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yes. I didn't know what you meant when you started saying you groove to it and you go beatnik on me, and that's when you go beatnik on me, I shut down.
Yes, no one understands.
All right, fine.
You mean shut down? You don't listen to him no more?
No, I don't listen to him no more. What a moron. You know, Bud, one of these days I'm going to take you down to Skid Row. Phil was talking about Skid Row. I'm going to take you down to the winos and the bums down there and have you have a conversation with them and talk the kind of talk that you talk, and you'll find more brain surgeons and rocket scientists down there than you can shake a stick at.
That's water.
General, your voice, you know.
No, it's just all it is when I get emotional.
All right, so... So that happened, and then we did the show, and it was a lot of fun. I was assured by Derek Waters, the visionary producer of Drunk History, that, quote, I crushed it, end quote, which is comedy talk for you were really funny. And I said, sure, I was drunk. Who isn't, you know? Anyway.
Well, that's the idea, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be somebody who can tell a story. The funniest part, and I think, I don't think I'm giving away anything now. I think I can say, I did not want to say anything leading up to the taping of the show about what my topic was, but I think we can do it now.
Phil, I say this with affection, but you're starting to talk like Johnny Carson, isn't he?
Yeah, you go on. I want to say, Ed.
All right, so?
Well, no, it's very endearing. You're going, now, I'd like to say, do it again.
Do what again?
Just do what you just said.
Well, I think that I will tell people now.
Right there. You're just like Johnny Carson, the way you did that.
Yes, I was doing my fly-up, but I glanced up quickly.
All right, great. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more of this scintillating conversation. We'll tell you what the topic for... Ow! God, bud.
What?
Blow me out of my, blow me out of my blow-up chair here. So anyway, we will be back and give you the scintillating topic that we did for Drunk History. Other news, the New York City train crash. The engineer was, quote, in a daze, end quote. The union guy says that the engineer might have, quote, nodded off. What happened? We'll talk about it. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445, 855-500-PHIL. Did you know that that's spelled out Phil?
I didn't know.
I'm sorry?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did. I saw it if it spelled something out. So you didn't say it spelled out Phil. You said it spelled out like Pahula or something. No.
Well, whatever. It's 7445 spells out Phil, so if you forget how to dial a phone. And frankly, and I say this, turn that fan off, bud. God. Dang, man, what is the story?
It gets hot in here.
It is hot in here, but until such time as we're undergoing a huge, huge renovation that's going to cost us an arm and a leg, but it's going to be worth it. We're going to digitize our studio and do all kinds of wild and groovy things. And one of the things we're going to do is move our broadcast position out of this studio, and we're going to move it in a larger room. We're going to move it out into our green room so that when we do our video cast, it'll be like a fireplace, and we're going to have a big screen TV. And we can have dancers, and we'll have a strip pole.
And what do you mean a strip? You're going to have a woman going, oh, God, are you kidding?
I think he is kidding, Margaret, you know.
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't know. I don't know if you're kidding or you're serious.
That'd be great if you did.
We're not going to have a strip pole. For starters, who can afford a dancer every night?
Funny.
Anyway, so when we move out of here, it'll be in a much, much... you know, cooler area. The engineer in the fatal Metro North train derailment told the National Transportation Safety Board that he was in a dazed situation, an autopilot kind of thing, when he took a curve at almost three times the speed limit. Now, what does that mean? He was in a dazed situation, an autopilot kind of thing, when he took a curve at almost three times the speed limit. This is coming down to a human error thing. The comments came as federal investigators said they found no problems with the train's brakes, and a federal agency ordered the Metropolitan Transportation Authority to take steps to improve safety after what it called as simply unacceptable series of accidents. This man's name is William Rockefeller Jr. He was photographed being loaded into an ambulance. He looks like he's okay, but there are four people who no longer have their lives. William Rockefeller told an NTSB hearing that he essentially zoned out before Sunday's crash in the Bronx and realized too late that he was going too fast for the curve. This was according to his lawyer, Jeffrey Chartier. Billy has been fully cooperative. He's not held anything back. He's devastated. There are no words for how he's feeling. He was emotional today during the hearing, crying while he talked. He feels terrible for the families. The possibility that Rockefeller dozed off before the crash has not been ruled out, although he did not say he was asleep in his initial interview. After years of working a shift that started in the afternoon, Rockefeller switched to a new schedule with a 5 a.m. start just 2 weeks ago, and investigators will try to determine if a change in his body clock was a factor, according to transit sources. Chartier said Tuesday that Rockefeller slept from 8:30 p.m. to 3:30 a.m. the night before the crash and felt rested. Well, you know, I got to tell you something, and I, you know, this is just me, but, man, I don't fall asleep when I'm working. And there have been times I don't sleep. I mean, I have a bad case of insomnia, and there are some nights I don't get any sleep at all. Now, that hasn't happened since we've moved to this new time much, but it used to happen all the time. It used to happen all the time when I was with that other company, because I was on the edge of sanity when I was working with those clowns. And then I'm working those deadly hours, but I never fell asleep. And I do know people that have, and it's probably very difficult to fall asleep when you're on the air live. You can't, I don't know if there's anybody I've ever heard. I heard one guy one night when I was driving home years ago. I was in Orlando, Florida, and I was listening to one cat that was on the air late night. And this dude was either having a hard time staying awake or had taken lots of very funny pills. I don't think it was weed.
Well, what did he sound like?
He was like, this is what he was saying. In other news, it looks like the NTSB is going to investigate the crash of two like that.
Well, it sounds like he's sick.
But yes, that sounds almost as if he has a ruptured appendix or is going through some...
What do you mean?
Well, it sounds to me like a man who's in agony trying to get through his what you call the airshift, Phil?
The what?
What do you call...
Yes, General, it's called the airshift.
All right, this man, the man you just described there, sounded like a man who either had a gut shot or was...
Well, what? How? What do you mean a gut shot?
I mean the man was shot in the middle of his air shift, as you call it, and was trying desperately to get to the end of the air shift.
The guy was shot in the gut?
What are you talking about, gentlemen? How's he going to do that?
How is he going to do it? Let me tell you, there are certain people in this world that have an obligation and know their obligation to their duty. And if you're doing a radio show, if you're manning a sentry post, if you are watering flowers, I don't care what it is, you have a commitment to see that job through. Now, this young man that Phil's talking about, you're talking about a man you heard on the radio, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Someone walks in, shoots him in the belly, and he's got a newscast to do.
But, General, why would he stay on the air?
Because he has a newscast. Good.
No, General, I understand.
No, you people don't understand. There is a thing called duty.
Yes, there's a thing called duty. But don't you think at that point, excuse me for saying, but that's the wildest thing that I've ever heard.
What's the wildest thing you've ever heard? That this guy was sounding the way he did?
No, what you just said, that the reason why he sounded that way is someone came in, shot him in the belly.
Well, I don't think it's funny.
I do. That's the funniest thing that I ever did here.
Oh, so you two knuckleheads think it's funny, is that it? You think it's funny that a man takes a book? Have you ever been shot in the belly, Mr. Hendry?
No, I have not.
I can tell you this, it's very painful. Very painful indeed, my friend.
That's what I've heard.
Yes. And this man you're talking about could very well have been shot in the belly, and now he knows he has a newscast that he's got to do.
If I can assure you, General, because I've been in this business and I've seen the guys that work in this business, they're very stand-up people, men and women together, stand-up, hard-working people. But I can guarantee you this, they draw the line at getting shot in the gut. They will leave the studio and go get medical help. You know,
you're pretty sure. Would you put your life on that?
No, I wouldn't put my life on it.
Well, then I wouldn't be talking. If I just because you don't do it doesn't mean that. You know, I did know that young man, Derek Deaver, who was on in Boston. He was the guy you told me about, right?
Yeah. He got Dandy Derek Deaver. His wife came in and belted him.
There you go. This guy.
Let me tell the story, okay? This guy, Dandy Derek Deaver, was on the air in Boston, and he used to take phone calls from girls during the records, okay?
You told me about this story.
Yeah, I know the story. What is it?
Hold on. So he was hitting on these girls, and his wife knew it, and he might even have had a fling or something with one of these chicks that was calling the station. His wife came into the studio one night while he was on mic. I mean, in other words, the song had ended, and he's going to say, hey, Dandy Derek Deaver here on Hot 105, whatever the hell the station was. And she comes in while he's on the air and slaps him across the face.
Yeah, this is the guy who was saying, please, baby, don't hit me. Oh, baby, cut it out.
Yeah, he was going, no, baby, come on. Ow, baby, come on. Ow. Yeah.
That was Dandy Derek, so he's getting belted around. Did he leave? Did he say, no, I don't want to, you know, you can't, please don't hit. No, he stayed there.
Well, that's hardly...
So, in other words, yeah, he did, but what is he supposed to do? My wife is slapping me. It hurts. I think I'm going to go off the air.
Some guys might have.
All right, we're going to get back to what we were originally talking about here, since this, you know, the train accident in New York. It's a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. There is a host of really cool stuff that is available now online at philhendryshow.com. We're talking about free downloads, all kinds of cool ways to BSP it. You know, we've got a two-tier subscription model now. And thank you, General. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. She got a hold on me. And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. As we mentioned going into the break, check our website, philhendryshow.com, all this month, along with our new gift subscription, which would be a great thing to give to, I was going to say, to the Phil Hendry fan in your family.
Yeah, well, what if there isn't a Phil Hendry fan in the family?
You give it to someone, make a Phil Hendry fan out of them.
There you go. Give it to someone and make a Phil Hendry fan out of them.
All right, I'm just wondering if you say, to the Phil Hendry fan in your family.
Well, I mean, if there's somebody listening, I'm assuming...
Yeah, that's one Phil Hendry fan.
Well, you're not going to give a gift subscription to yourself, so...
You give it to the Phil Hendry fan in your family.
And if there isn't a Phil... She's asking, what if there isn't a Phil Hendry fan in the family?
Then you... Would you get his voice fixed or something?
I don't need my voice fixed.
Come on, General, I'll give you some honey and tea.
Honey and tea?
Yeah, that generally helps. It generally helps the general. Anyway, so, yes, Margaret, to anybody, give it away on the street. Give it to someone. Give it to a homeless person. How about that? I don't have any money, but here's a gift subscription to the Phil Hendry website. And they'll say, thank you. I happen to have my laptop with me. Which they probably will. Among the things that homeless folks don't have, one of them is not a laptop.
So you think the average homeless person is just sitting out there? They could have a job. They could do a lot better than they're doing, but they're sitting there with their laptop computers.
No, I didn't say that. I just think there's some things that you clothes and a laptop you can't do without. All right, so as we were mentioning, the NTSB in New York believes that this guy had nodded off or dozed off or had done something like that. Art Griego, who has been flying, as we mentioned, he's been flying commercially for 20 years, or did fly commercially for 20 years. And Art is now retired, but he also had a charter business and flew privately for a number of years as well. We've got Art on the line from Santa Monica, California, to talk a little bit here about dealing with the NTSB and dealing with the investigators of accidents. As a pilot, Art, it can't be a very soothing thing. It's probably pretty nerve-wracking, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's very nerve-wracking. And this is the poor man, I don't want to comment. I just mentioned, I was watching television here a moment ago, and you should be aware that they're making underwear for men that looks an awful lot like a woman's panties. I just thought I should tell you that.
Why? Why do you need to tell me that?
Well, wait a minute. That's very interesting. What do you...
Well, we're talking about something else, all right?
Oh, no, I understand, but I just saw an ad for men's underwear, and it looked like... Bloomers. You know, the old 19th century bloomers?
What are those?
What? Why are we talking about this?
What is with you and the general tonight? Why are we talking about this? I just heard your voice do that.
Yeah, Phil, I heard that as well.
All right, well, I'll get that fixed. Why are we talking about underwear?
I just mentioned it because I saw it.
It might be more interesting than what you want to talk about.
Yeah, give it a shot, Mr. Henry.
No, we're not going to give it a shot. We're going to talk about this investigation of... accidents, whether there's a commercial on TV that shows men's underwear that looks like women's underwear.
Did you say they look like bloomers, though? I just heard from the outset, when Bud was giving me the tea and honey, I heard something about bloomers.
Yeah, General, that's what panties was back when he was young.
Let me tell you something, my fine feathered friend. I wasn't alive during the bloomer days. What's the television?
Hold on, I gotta tell my wife to turn it down. Hey, turn it. I'm on the Phil Hendry Show. I'm surprised she didn't turn it up because she's not a big fan of your show, but...
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, that's all right.
She's not a big fan of Phil's show?
She hates Phil's show.
I think I got your point on that.
Well, I'm not trying to rub it in, but I was just asked, you know...
She doesn't like Phil's show.
All right, we've got it already. The panties that you wanted to talk about?
I don't want to talk about panties. I just saw a commercial...
He said he saw a commercial that looked as if it was for men's underwear, but they looked like bloomers.
Yes, exactly. They were frilly and they stuck out. And I just wondered if Phil had seen this, and I don't know, have you purchased a pair of these? Or?
Yeah, that'd be great. Mr. Harry had I purchased them.
No, I have not. No, I have not purchased a pair of those. I don't even know what it is you're talking about.
All right, well, I was just curious.
Phil buys those boxer, the sort of the boxer briefs, don't you, Phil?
In a moment, Margaret, we're going to start talking about what underwear you wear. Okay, and then we can just do a whole four-hour show on that sometime, all right?
Well, no, I would rather you... What four-hour show? This show's 3 hours.
Yeah, Mr. Harry, I can't stay an extra hour on account I gotta get home, you know?
Never mind, man, I don't mean literally. So we're off the underwear topic, unless, of course, we want to bring up Margaret's.
Well, I'd rather not do that, you know.
And what does that mean?
I mean, I'm...
Are you saying that you don't want to embarrass me, right?
That's correct, yeah, I don't want to embarrass you, sure.
Well, what is, no, hold on for just a minute.
No, I don't think he's telling that. I think he doesn't want to bring up your underwear because it disgusts him.
Sir, General...
All right, are we going to have an argument about Margaret's underwear?
No, we're not, but I'm offended that he doesn't want to talk about my underwear because he's disgusted by it. Where do you get off? Art Brie, I don't even... You're an alcoholic that shouldn't even have a pilot's license.
Ma'am, I did not cast aspersions on your character or your health. You know, yes, I did say that, talking about your underwear...
You said it would disgust you, so that does comment on my health.
I would think it does, Phil. What do you think?
I don't want to talk about it. Do you understand?
Well,
I don't want to talk about it, and we're not going to talk about it. We're going to move on now, and we're going to talk about Art Griego and the NTSB and the FAA and the CIA and whatever else we want to talk about, not Margaret's underwear. Is that clear?
Well, Phil...
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I'm fine with that, Phil.
What about you, bud?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
All right, fine.
See, he forgot what he wanted to talk about. You're so busy reading the riot act.
All right, I know exactly what I want to talk about. It's Art Griego and the accident investigations that you've been involved with, Art. Now, here is a train that was traveling at an excessive rate of speed. What are you staring at, Margaret?
I just want to see if you stumble. Oh, my God, he balled up his fist, General.
Phil, you're not going to strike a woman, are you?
No, I'm not, but I'm going to belt somebody else. Because if she did it, someone else is going to get it.
Don't make it me, man. You have to get one of them dummies. You know the dummy you have in the garage?
The dummy I had in the garage? What?
Phil, I remember the dummy that they're talking about now. It's something you bought for your kids, and now you've got it in the garage.
That big plastic Rock'em Sock'em dummy?
Yeah, that's it. Only that thing is, it had electronics on it?
Yeah, it lit up.
Nah, that thing's busted, all right? But if you want me to drag it in here and I can beat that thing up instead of somebody else, sure, I'll do that.
When you were talking to me, Phil, your fist balled up, and it frightened me.
Let me tell you what's going on here. If you guys don't shut up, I will beat the crap out of that thing in the garage and make you stand there and watch me do it so that you will see, not what's necessarily happened to you, but what you have prompted me to do, what you have driven me to, what my anger, how it will manifest. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
All right. Now...
Hold on, Phil. Would you turn that down, honey? God. Well, don't turn it up, okay? There's an argument going on there.
All right. So, tell me all about it, Art. You were involved in what kind of an accident?
I wish it was an airplane.
Okay. And then what happened?
Well, I was flying the airplane, and I was going to land at Van Nuys, which is the airport off of the 101 freeway near the 405. So it's right near the juncture of those two freeways. So I was deciding I was going to land the plane.
Okay, and then what happened, you know?
Well, I'm just answering your questions.
Well, Phil's asking, you should give a narrative here.
Yeah, when I say what happened, continue on.
Oh, all right. Well, I was flying the airplane, and then I decided I better land.
Yeah, why? Why do you gotta land?
Because that's where I was gonna land. That's where I was supposed to land.
Okay, very good.
And so you decided to land the aircraft, and then what were you going to do after that?
Then I was gonna get the luggage out. There were two people in the back. I was gonna get the luggage out. And...
Will you tell us how the crash happened, and forget about what you planned on doing?
Well, if you ask me what I was planning on doing, I was planning on not crashing the aircraft.
All right, that much we are... probably in agreement on and understand. I know that no one plans on crashing an airplane.
No, not unless there were that Joe Suck guy.
Joe Suck? Who is that?
He's talking about Joe Stacks.
Oh, that maniac, that guy, that fool, that guy killed somebody.
No, I understand it, but he was intending on crashing the aircraft.
Yes, okay, that's that, and the guys that flew the planes on 9/11.
Yeah, well, don't forget them, because that was fully intentional.
Okay, we're not forgetting them either. But you wanted to land the plane safely.
Yes, I did. And so it was that as we landed, one of the tires blew. And I thought it was one of the tires blowing. And as it turned out, it was one of the tires blowing. But at the time, I didn't know. That's what I thought.
So one of the tires blew.
Yeah, one of the tires blew. And the plane sort of tilted in the direction of the tire that blew. I think it was the left tire. So the plane was tilting a little bit to the left. So I pulled it to the right a little bit and fishtailed the aircraft. And so the tail of the aircraft did a big fishtail. It just went around and around and around. We went around about two times and then came to a rest there at the end of the runway.
That was it, huh?
Yeah, that was it.
Well, that's lucky. I thought you got involved in something.
Well, no. I mean, then there was some gasoline that spilled out of the back and a fire broke out, but that's after we were out of the aircraft.
So a fire broke out on the aircraft after you were out?
Yeah, we got out and we were walking away, and then I looked back and my plane was on fire.
Yeah, well, how did that happen?
Because somehow fuel spilled and ignited, and the tail section caught on fire, and within probably 30 seconds, the whole aircraft was on fire.
And you were driving away, huh?
No, we were walking.
You and your passengers?
Yeah.
Well, did they come out and pick you up?
No, they rushed out some firefighting equipment and put the fire out, but we kept walking down the runway, actually off the runway, because I told them you better not walk on the runway because somebody may try and land it. That's like walking down the middle of a street, because the lady, she's going, well, let's walk down here. I said, yeah, but that's like walking down a street. And she said, why? I said, because that's a runway.
Okay, so did anybody, so they came out, they saw the plane crashed.
Well, it didn't crash.
No, but they saw that the plane was in distress.
Or was it the fire?
Yeah, I don't think they saw anything happen until they saw the fire. Then they scrambled out a fire engine, and some guys, you know, with fire hats, and one guy's on the back holding on, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you, ask me.
No, I know what a fire truck looks like.
Yeah, but they have a guy on the back that's holding on.
Yeah, I understand that. And did they have a Dalmatian, too?
Oh, man. Phil, you're asking some asinine questions. Let me ask a question.
What do you mean asinine? You guys are saying, oh, yeah, and then they sent a fire truck out there with a guy hanging off the back and a fire hat. Did they have a Dalmatian dog?
Yes, they did, sitting up front.
Oh, of course. They always sit up front. Okay.
Well, what are you getting angry for?
What's wrong with you?
It sounded like you almost had a stroke, Miss Gray.
I'm sorry. What are you getting angry for?
I'm not getting angry. I'm laughing because Art's describing a fire truck. All I want to know is, did they send anybody out to rescue you, or did you didn't need rescuing?
No, we didn't need rescue. We got out of the plane. I apologized, and I said, you can have your money back if you want. I had no idea who was going to do that. And they were kind of, you know, still in shock a little bit, but I grabbed the bags, and there were only about three bags, so we each had one, and we're walking down. I said, I'm talking to the gentleman.
So this was a couple, a man and woman?
Yeah, it was a married couple, and they were just flying down from Santa Barbara. And we got to Van Nuys, and the tire blew, and it did a fishtail, and we got out, and we start walking. I'm awfully sorry, I'll give you your money back. He said, yeah, that sounds about right. And I turned around, and I heard like a glass breaking, and I turned around, and I saw my airplane on fire.
Okay, let's take a break and resume this story when we come back with Art Griego as we're talking a little bit here about accidents, whether they are accidents having to do with the train or with an aircraft, the NTSB, the FAA, how are these things handled? As you know, there was a terrible, terrible event in New York having to do with a commuter train and a commuter train that crashed as the result of the engineer nodding off. He fell asleep. Unreal, man. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show back here after our night on drunk history. Have I told you guys about it yet? I haven't. Not much, I don't think. I don't know if I filled you in.
Well, I think you filled us in just a little bit. You talked about vomiting, and that...
I know what it was. You were talking about a guy getting a gut shot or something.
Yeah, talk about that one guy got shot in the belly.
Yes, and what I'm trying to impart to you, though, is to have sensitivity.
Yeah, see, I just don't buy that, you know.
What don't you buy? Don't you think the general knows?
Let me tell you guys something, okay? If you guys are taking his side just to make the show more interesting, don't do it, all right?
What do you mean?
Don't give me this stuff about how you're buying into this guy who's on the air and he can't read the news well. Maybe someone came in and shot him in the belly, but he's such a trooper that he's going to stay to the end of the news. That's the general's theory.
Well, I don't think it's a theory. I've seen that happen.
Maybe in warfare, General, you've seen that happen, and that's great, and I really appreciate men committed to duty that way. A guy doing a newscast is not going to, you know, get shot. I'm laughing because I can imagine a guy getting shot in the gut, and he's thinking, no, I better get this radio newscast out because it's really super important.
So that's how cynical you are about what you do for a living, is that it?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Thank you.
You really are?
Yes, I really am. Thank you very much. So,
Well, Phil, you don't want people... Oh, my God, Kirstie Alley. She's got a new TV show. Do you know that?
Yeah, look at that. Michael Richards is on it.
Michael, the one that's... Oh, my God.
That the guy who said the R word, right?
The R word? No, the N word.
Yeah, the N word. What about the R word?
What's the R word?
You want me to say?
I guess not. No, he didn't say the R word. He said the N word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's the N-word is offensive to the black people.
No kidding, man. I already know that.
Well, anyway, Kirstie Alley with the show. What about it?
No, she looks wonderful. She absolutely looks wonderful. She's gorgeous. And I think it's courageous of her to put Michael Richards to work. I know that Michael Richards has felt very, from my sources, he has felt terrible about what happened on stage there at the Laugh Factory.
You called it the what? The Laugh Factory?
I should have called it the Laugh Factory.
What's the Laugh Factory?
That's a...
You mean the Laugh Factory?
Yes, Phil. I'm using the French.
Oh, well, I think you have to call it in that sense the Laugh Factory.
No, General, I'll call it what I damn well want to call it, all right?
Well...
I mean, you're talking about someone getting shot in the gut and dragging and crawling their way to the end of the newscast. That's what I do every night on this show. I don't get literally shot in the stomach, but coming in and sitting down here is like someone pulling a revolver on me and putting one right in my gut. And I don't know if you ever saw the film DOA with the great Edmund O'Brien and the great Neville Brand. Do you remember that film?
Of course I remember that film. That was that and A Kiss of Death are my two favorites.
Of the film noir genre?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, in that film, Neville Brand...
Oh, what are we talking about here? Are we doing a movie review or something?
Yeah, I don't understand about a Neville Brand.
Excuse me, I was mentioning to the general that in DOA, Neville Brand looks at Edmund O'Brien with a smile on his face, and he says, I like to give them to guys in the belly, right in the belly. And he's holding a snub-nosed 38.
Oh, yes, okay. Well, that's what I'm talking about. So if that newsman was getting his news, and a guy came in and said, I love to give it to a guy right in the belly, bang, and the newsman gets a gut shot and goes in and says, I've got this newscast, you see, that's what I mean.
Yeah, no.
Well, what do you mean, no?
Yeah. I mean, no. It'll never happen, never has happened, never will happen. That's not what I heard that night. I heard a guy... It sounded to me like the guy had taken some bad acid or he'd taken some downers or something. And, yeah, there was nobody to fill in for him. He probably called and said, I'm sick and I need somebody to come in and you know, fill in for me. But it sounded like there wasn't anybody doing it. And he had this five-minute newscast he had to do at the top of the hour. So, you know.
What was the guy's name?
I'm not going to say. So forget it.
You know who it was, though, huh?
I know what the guy's name was. I ain't going to say it. But I'm telling you, when I was listening to this guy, it sounded like he was in serious need, man. He had some bad... I don't know what it was. Like, maybe this cat... Like, if he was sick, if he had appendicitis... That could have been. He could have had, like, a really bad appendicitis.
And yet you don't... You won't entertain the possibility that someone shot him in the belly.
No, I won't entertain that. No, I won't.
Why not? I don't see how that's so far afield.
Oh, come on, will you? The guy's not going to get shot in the stomach and do... Nobody that I know in radio has that kind of commitment. Not that there wouldn't be anybody that'd want to shoot this guy in the stomach, you know.
It could be the husband of a woman he was fooling around with. You said yourself these people have low morals.
Why are you shaking your head? Phil, you have to give credence to these possibilities and eventualities that could very well have their roots in reality. Just as I was speaking about the Law Factory. And
the Law Factory. Man, you're...
Well, you can laugh if you want.
That's not called it, though.
I call it what I want to call it, all right, Dickman?
Margaret, when you call the Laugh Factory the Law Factory, it sounds like it's... The Law Factory sounds like a part of the body. It sounds like some sort of nerve in the eyes or something. Like, you know, the optical nerve or the law... like the olfactory sense. It doesn't sound like a nightclub. It sounds to me like you're talking about something having to do with medicine. So...
Well, that's your educational level, then.
My educational level? I bet you anything that the French don't even pronounce Laugh Factory that way. I bet you it's pronounced some other way, you know, like... Le Factory. How about that, huh?
Oh, get him.
That's way better, Mr. Henry.
That's me, Bennett. No, I think it's Le Factory.
No, I bet you it's the Le Factory. Tonight, Michael, you see... Phil Henry Show, see you next hour.
You know, you're a real show-off, aren't you?
That don't sound like...